We are in our series, and our series is called Heroes of the Bible. And I'm still asking, are you on the list? See, God has created all of us to be a hero. You're a hero to your family. You're a hero to your children. You're a hero to your spouse. You're a hero to your employer. And you're a hero to your employees. You're a hero. God's made you that way. And inside of you is something that's more than a conqueror. There's something that's an overcomer. And that's the way God's wired us. And now, what our series is really about is not doing Bible characters. It's about finding the hero that's in you. Over the past several years, we heard a whole lot of noise about extreme makeovers. Everybody heard about extreme makeovers, right? They make over everything from a house to an apartment to a person, you know? Billions of dollars are spent every year on extreme makeovers in the physical dimension. But what I've learned over life is that if there's really going to be any long-lasting external effect, that first it has to begin on the inside, internally, and specifically in your mind. If your mind doesn't change, and how you change and think about yourself, then nothing really externally changes of any consequence. If you don't have your self-esteem, see, these things come from the inside. Self-esteem, your self-value, your self-worth, all of these things come from within, not externally. They come from within. And if you don't see yourself in a good way, then you're limiting yourself. You see, because what we always do, all of us will, is we default, and hear that word, default back to our faults and to our failures. Default. We go back to our faults. We all do. We have this tendency, we can go forward, but yet we default. And we allow our failures and our past and our sins and our mess ups to stop us from and saying, we can't do that. I've messed up too much. I'm not capable. I'm not educated enough. I'm not able to do that. I want to say something to you, and I really want you to hear this thought. See, we limit ourselves in life by our thinking. The only limit on your life comes from what you think about yourself. You limit your future. You limit your life by what you think. You know, I'm just wanting to communicate this very desperately. There's a wrestling match that's inside of each of us. And the wrestling match is between who you want to be and who it's easy to be. It's easy to be the natural. It's easy to be just breathing. You go through life and it's easy to be that natural person conformed to what the world wants you to be. But it's not easy to be who you want to be. To be who you want to be, you've got to have an extreme makeover on the inside. You've got to unlimit yourself. You've got to think out there so you won't think back there. And so we need an extreme makeover that's happening on the inside of us. It's so important that we get across who we want to be, who we understand what we want to be. You can't go through life thinking negative thoughts about yourself and expect to have a positive life. You can have the greatest of talents, but if you don't think you're talented, those talents will never be tapped into. And you'll never get to bring those things out. You can convince yourself and think, I don't have anything to bring to the table of life. And if you think that, then you're not going to bring anything. You're not going to have anything to bring out and add to your life or to your family's life or to humanity. If you don't think you're beautiful, then you'll never blossom into the beautiful person who God has designed you to be. You'll never be the self-confident person if you always think you're inferior. And so what we end up doing is we go into these areas and the arenas where we don't like ourselves. Most people today really don't like themselves. They won't sit down and tell you in a conversation, hey, I don't like me. But it's the truth. I remember thinking about myself back yonder, and I needed an extreme makeover. I was thinking about this, how there was a time when I knew I didn't like me. I didn't like Delbert. I didn't like who I was. I didn't like what I did. And I would default back. I would default back to my faults. And I would look at all my failures and all my sins and all my mess-ups in life, and it was hindering me from ever going forward in life. I would default back. And what we do is we run this video in our heads. You know, we run the video over and over and over where we messed up, where we failed. And again, we'll never experience a positive, fulfilling life, overcoming life, if we're constantly focusing on and concentrating on the negatives. It's impossible to do. It just cannot happen. You cannot go positive if you're constantly thinking of yourself in a negative way. And so we need an extreme makeover. We need to think of ourselves as the heroes that we really are. We need to think of ourselves as the champion that we really are. You see, what we do in life is we say things like this: I don't have anything to offer. But instead of saying that I don't have anything to offer, or that I'm not beautiful, or that I'm not talented, what we've got to do is change that thinking. You can't think that. You flip it around. And what you say is, hey, you know what? I am a masterpiece. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. There is nobody else like me in the whole world. I am creative. I am talented. I can do things, some things better than anybody else I know. And so you begin to turn that around and flip it to the other side. Instead of getting out of bed today and saying today's going to be a horrible day, it's going to be horrible at work. What we've got to come to the place of saying is, instead of saying I don't ever catch a break, it's going to be bad, we've got to say the favor of God is on me. I'm crowned with it, the Bible says. God is already out in front of me working. God is already out in front of me opening doors. God is already out there making connections, divine connections for me to run into so that people will help me accomplish what I want to accomplish in my life. Goodness and mercy goes with me every day of my life. Not only good things happen to me, but God's mercy happens to me. Even if I mess up, God's mercy is there to help me through it. Goodness and mercy goes with me every day. Everything my hand touches, it prospers. And when we begin to think on those terms, what we do is we start changing and we start thinking forward instead of thinking backward and defaulting. We've got to come to the place where we forward think rather than default think. I was a boy a long time ago, and and my dad owned a farm. It was a small farm. It was 40 acres. And we would raise cattle and some little livestock. I had a horse, and we had chickens, a lot of chickens, and we would do goats and stuff like that. We'd raise a little corn, a little wheat, things like that. It wasn't a big farm, it wasn't a big operation. But I was in the 4-H, and I enjoyed taking my livestock, my fowls and, you know, poultry and cattle and my hogs to the 4-H and showing them. And I was big in the 4-H, and so what I want to talk to you about is my sow hog. I had a good-looking sow hog. And every year come fair time, I would get my sow hog in the water, in the big trough there, and I would give my sow hog a bubble bath. And really, I would stir it up, and the old hog loved it. And then I would get this kind of a wire brush, and I would brush the hog and exfoliate its skin. I didn't know that's what I was doing then, but that's what I was exfoliating this hog. If I'd had Botox, I'd have Botoxed that hog. You know? And I would get it out, and I'd dry it off, and I'd trim the hair off its ears and off its belly and snout and all this stuff. Make his hog looking good. And I would give it a pedicure. I would take its hoofs, and I would sand them and file them and clip them down. I'd paint them with polish. I'd give it a pedicure. I'd put a bow around its neck, and then I would load my hog up on the truck, on Daddy's truck, and we'd take our livestock, and I'd unload my hog in front of people. And people would stand there and look at my hog, and they'd say, boy, You got a hot-looking hog there. I did. And I would show my hog, and every single year I showed that hog, I won grand champion. I had the grand champion hog. But here's what I want to tell you. I bring that hog home. We'd lower the tailgate. Hog would come off, go back into its pen. You know, that hog never did stop by and tell all its hog buddies, look at my pedicure. Look at my exfoliated hide. Look at my hairstyle. It never did that. You know what that hog did? Never showed off its ribbon. You know what that hog did? 30 seconds, that hog had defaulted back to its mud. Now, it had an extreme makeover. It was a hot-looking hog. But it was changed on the outside, but nothing about that hog changed on the inside. All of us know who Oprah is and how the struggles that she's had with her weight. She's lost it and gained it and lost it and gained it. And I was watching one of her programs one time, and she had a program about that. And she was interviewing people who had experienced similar situations. And some of them had some physical problems and was causing it. But there was this man on the program, and he was a big man. I think he must have weighed about 600 pounds. And at one time, he had lost over 250 pounds. He weighed 500 pounds, and he began losing weight, and he lost over 250 pounds. He got down to about 225 or so. And then he defaulted, and he gained it back. And he just sat there, and he wasn't saying anything. He was obviously very sad. He really didn't like to be out there like that, being interviewed. And finally, Oprah picked up on it, and she brought him into the conversation. She got him into it, and she was getting him to talk. And asking him what happened, he says, I don't really have any physical problems. I guess, in my mind, I will always be fat. See, he had never changed the mind. And until we begin to change in the mind, nothing really happens. We always default back. But God's got it all planned out for us because He wants us to go forward, not backward. And so I want to read you the scripture. It's in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And it says, do not conform or be like, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's easy. It's easy to do that. There's no wrestling. There's no struggle there. But you can easily do that. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. And I want you to say that back to me, please. Be transformed. Would you say that really loud? Be transformed. Be transformed. And that's the word there, as you see, metamorpho in the Greek. We get our English word metamorphos from it. Be metamorphosed. Once you come to Christ, you begin a metamorphosis. Be metamorphosed by the what? By the renewing of your mind. Nothing's going to change in your life until it changes in your mind. It's got to happen first in your mind. The life you want to live must happen first in your mind. And so we all know what metamorphosis means. We all know that metamorphosis, we all are aware of the butterfly, the little caterpillar, hairy, wormy caterpillar, that is metamorphosed into a beautiful monarch butterfly. And that beautiful monarch butterfly is heading for Mexico, but not as a caterpillar. To get where it wants to go, it's got to go through the transformation, the metamorphosis. And what the Bible is telling you and me there is that when you come to Christ, you begin the metamorphosis. Right now, whatever that you're going through, whether it's marital problems or whether it's financial problems or whether it's physical problems or whether it's problems at work, whatever that you're going through, it's your cocoon. And it's changing you. You're going through a process. And what the Bible is saying to us is that what's happening is if we can get our mind going in the right direction, we can start thinking forward and not thinking backward. If we can get our mind going in the right direction, not only do we have some amazing things ahead for us, but we're going to be able to go places and do things we could never get like we are. And so there's this metamorphosis. You see, inside of this little wormy caterpillar, this little hairy, ugly little thing, is two very important things. Two very important things. A cocoon and a butterfly inside of it. And nothing is particularly intriguing about this caterpillar. In fact, it's a little repulsive. No little girl wants to go and play with caterpillars. But you bring them a butterfly. Oh, how pretty. But here's what I want to tell you. That little wormy, hairy caterpillar is predestinated to become something that you can't see yet. It's in there. It's got to go through the transformation. And inside of you, and inside of me, there is this amazing person. But you got to go through the transformation. Oh, it's there. And it's what you wrestle with. One day the cocoon comes forth. Finally the wormy, hairy caterpillar gives way to the cocoon. The cocoon comes forth. And then one day the cocoon gives way to the beautiful butterfly. And the butterfly comes forth. And the little hairy caterpillar has gone through life crawling, just trying to exist. Just crawling and eating whatever it could find to eat. It's kind of like what some of us do. But the butterfly comes forth. And the butterfly is no longer crawling in the low places. The butterfly gets up into the winds, the breezes, and flies to the most beautiful of flowers and eats the sweetest nectars of life. It doesn't spend its life trying to exist, to find something to crawl to eat. It spends its time finding the beautifulest, the best, the sweetest of nectars. And all of us sort of begin life like the little wormy, hairy butterfly, the little wormy, hairy caterpillar. We are just trying to exist, just trying to make it. And we eat nearly anything. We eat stuff like, I'll never be out of debt. We eat stuff like, my marriage will never be any good. We eat stuff like, my children are never going to be successful. We eat stuff like, I'm going to die of this disease. We eat stuff like, I'm never going to live my dreams. God's never going to bless me. Look what I've done. No. No. You're predestined. And inside of you is what you want to be. But until you see it in your mind, until it happens in here, it's never going to happen out here. The Bible says you're predestined. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, for those God foreknew, He also what? Predestinated. To do what? What are you predestinated to do? To be conformed, to change, to transfer, to metamorphose. To be conformed to something you're not. Something supernatural. To the likeness of His Son. That He might be firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestinated, there it is again, He also called. So if you're called of God, then you're in a cocoon. You're in a state of metamorphosis and you're being changed, but you've got to give in to it. You've got to let it happen. Those He predestinated, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. Those, you're justified. That means you're forgiven. It doesn't matter your past. That's why Jesus came. You're justified. Just as if you'd never sinned. You're justified. He justified. He also did what? Glorify? Are you glorious? Is something inside of you glorious? Now get this. What then shall we say in response to this? In response to what? Now I got to make sure you're on page with me. In response to what? To being predestinated. Here's the response that we're supposed to have to God's telling us that there's something better for us. If God be for me, who can be against me? In other words, this can really happen. If God's for me, we can make it happen. Don't lose that. See, we always talk about if God be for me, who can be against me? But it's in context with your predestination and what God has put inside of you to be. God has it all planned out. He does. But it's no longer up to God. He sent Jesus. He's got the plan worked out. He's put it inside of you to be. It's no longer now up to God. It's up to you. You've got to go through the transformation. You've got to get your mind renewed. You've got to get your mind metamorphosing, changing. How do we do that? Again, if we'll think negative thoughts, we'll have a negative life. There is no transformation on the outside until there's a transformation on the inside. It must begin in your mind. You got to see yourself as what you want to be. You got to think, in me right now is a great man, a great woman. Inside me right now is a great husband, a great wife. Inside of me right now is an amazing parent. Inside of me right now is a person who is totally free from any kind of addiction. Inside of me right now is the person who's going to live their dreams. Inside of me right now is what God put there for me to be. I am predestined. Some of you have been in the cocoon way, way too long. God has amazing nectar, the sweetness of life for you, but you're still thinking negative thoughts. God has beautiful flowers for you to spend your time. And you know what I'm talking about metaphorically here. God has this beautiful life for you to spend your time in, but yet you're still in the cocoon. And what's limiting you is your thinking. You limit yourself by your thinking. And until you begin to see it in your mind, you're never going to experience it in life. You got to say, I'm tired of it. I'm coming out of my cocoon. I'm tired of it. I'm not looking back. I'm looking forward. I'm tired of it. I'm going to be who God has planned for me to be. You know, a sculptor, he looks at a piece of wood, and it's amazing because they don't get hung up on the bark, or they don't get hung up on the knots, or the cracks or the flaws in the wood. They are able to see into the wood and see this amazing thing that's hidden, locked into that wood, that can be carved out from there. A rock sculptor, a stone sculptor, he has the ability not to get hung up on the rough edges and the hardness and the flaws and the rough edges. He sees beyond that, and he looks in there and he sees this amazing, amazing thing, this amazing sculpture that he can bring out of that thing. And what I'm trying to relate to you is that's what God is. God is the master sculptor. He's not hung up on your hardness. He's not hung up on your flaws. He's not hung up on your bark. He's not hung up on your knots or your cracks. God sees inside of you, and He sees that wonderful thing that's locked up in there. And He says, listen, I'm for you. And if I'm for you, who can be against you? And you and I can together, we can bring this out. God wants to take us through a transformation, through a change. And in the Scriptures, it's amazing because people named themselves, sort of. You were named according to your character. Abraham wasn't always Abraham. He was first Abram. And Abraham, Ham part, is a connection with God. When he connected with God, his life changed. He went through a transformation, a metamorphosis. Sarah was not always Sarah, she was Sarai. And she went through a transformation, became Sarah. And there's a bunch of people in the Bible that went through this. And their names changed according to their character change. And in accordance with how their character changed, their name would also change. One that people aren't very aware of is Solomon. Solomon was always Solomon. He became Jedidiah, the beloved one, the wise one. And you're familiar with others like Peter. You know that Peter wasn't always Peter. He was first Simon. Simon the fisherman became Peter, the apostle, the rock, upon whom Jesus said, I can build on something like this. Paul wasn't always Paul, the great apostle. He first saw the Pharisee, the hard, the rock, the unbendable, hard rock Pharisee. But inside of that, God saw Paul. Did I say that correctly? Inside of the rock, God saw Paul, the great apostle. The Bible talks about a man named Jacob. Jacob was like this. Jacob was born to Isaac and to Rebekah. And he was a twin. And he was the second born of the twins. And they seemed to only be seconds apart at their birth. And Esau was born first. And as Esau come out, then Jacob was trying to come out. And the Bible says that Jacob was grabbing at Esau's heel. And so they named him Jacob. It means heel grabber. And it means supplanter. And if you look up supplanter, it means deceiver. It means schemer. And so this is what they named him. And he lived up to his name. The first part of his life, he lived up to it. And he was very, very good at it. In fact, he was so good. The first incident the Bible tells us about, it probably wasn't the first one, it's just the first one the Bible tells us about. He was able to scheme away from his older brother. He was able to scheme away from him his birthright, and that's big. That means you get a lot of inheritance. He was able to scheme away from his brother, his birthright, with a pot of beans. Now, you're a pretty good schemer. That's the ability that this guy had. This was his character. And then the Bible tells us of one of his most amazing deceits and scheming events. And he did it on his own father. Isaac was nearly blind. And he was getting old. And so one day he calls Esau, the oldest one of those and Isaac's favorite. And he says, I want you to go hunting. And I want you to go and get some venison, come back, prepare it. And then I want to spend time, just you and me. We'll just hang out together. And I want to give you the blessing because I'm getting old. Now the blessing is generational. The blessing just simply means that the generations to come are going to be blessed through you. And it was very, very important to these people. So Esau says, cool. So he heads off to the woods. But Jacob hears about the plan. And so what Jacob does is he decides he wants to scheme and he wants to get this blessing. So what he does is he goes and kills a goat. Now, the Bible says that Esau was very hairy. He must have been very hairy. And what he did, and they knew that when he went in to take the goat meat, the supposedly venison, to his dad, Isaac, that Isaac was probably going to know that this didn't sound like Esau. So what he did is he put the goat skin on. He wore the goat skin. And sure enough, Isaac felt him, and it worked. And he got the blessing. Well, when Esau found out about it, Esau was enraged. He was so angry. Let me read this to you. It's in Genesis 27:36 that said, Esau said, he's named right. He's rightly named. This is what he is. He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. And Jacob was kind of like that old Sal Hogg I was talking about. He would clean up on the outside, but man, on the inside, he always reverted back. He always defaulted back to his faults, to what was really inside of him. He went through life like that. He had two marriages, and then he had two women he had children by. He had 13 children by those four women. Every person that he met in the scriptures, he schemed. He had this whole trail of nothing but broken, schemed people. He was a liar. He was a thief. He was a scheming, deceitful person. And amazingly, we all have a little of that in us. And we come to a place one day in life where we're alone. Everybody's left us. We don't understand why. The Bible says that Jacob was alone. And then it says, he wrestled with a man all night. Now, get it? I'm going to read it to you in just a second. You can decide. Scholars tell us that he was wrestling with an angel, or he was wrestling with God. But I know who Jacob was wrestling with, because I know who I wrestle with when I'm all alone. I'm not wrestling with God. I'm not wrestling with an angel. I'm not even wrestling with the devil. I'm wrestling with me. And I'm wrestling with who I am versus who I want to be. Let me read this to you. Genesis 32:24. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. See, what was really happening here is that Jacob was in his cocoon. It was time for the butterfly to come out. He probably had wrestled here several other times, but this time he wasn't going to come out of that thing without being blessed. He was going to wrestle. He was going to hold on to this man until the transformation happened. And this is what the Lord is trying to say to you and me today. Listen, you've been wrestling and wrestling and wrestling with your life, with who you are versus who you want to be and who God wants you to be. It's time now. Hold on. Don't let go. It's getting daylight. And the Bible says it's getting daylight here. And what this means to me is that Jacob is beginning to see who he could really be. And the guy says, let me go. It's getting daylight. And Jacob says, I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go until it happens. I'm not letting you go until I get the blessing. I'm not letting you go until I get the transformation. Let me read it to you. Genesis 32. Then the man said, let me go. It is daybreak. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Who are you? What are you? Jacob. I'm a swindler. I'm a thief. I'm a dishonest person. I don't like who I am. Then the man said, your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel. Put the next slide up, please. Israel means, look at this, he will rule as God, not with God. You can rule your life. You can be who you want to be. Go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. It says here, and he said, your name will be no longer Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. You're now an overcomer. That's what an overcomer is. You see, inside of the cocoon, inside of the worm was a cocoon, and inside of the cocoon was a butterfly. Inside of the piece of wood was this amazing carving. Inside of the stone is this amazing statue. Inside of Jacob was a nation. When you look inside of you, what do you see? You see two things. You see who you are and your faults and your failures. And you see who you want to be. And this is a wrestling match that's going on inside of you. And what the Lord is wanting to say to you today and to me today is, listen, it's getting daylight. You're beginning to see who you can be. Don't let go. Don't let go this time. Hold on to it this time. Don't let it get away from you this time. You've wrestled before. Don't let it go again. Hold on to it until the transformation happens. Hold on to it until you can come out of there. And you can go places that you never thought you could go. And you can do things that you never thought you could be. And you can experience your dreams. And you can experience the sweet nectars of life. God says there's a transformation. If you're predestined, if I've called you, if you know me, if I know you, then you are in a time of transformation. And I want you to conform to a supernatural hero. I want you to be who something that you never thought you could be. I'm looking into you. I know what's there. I put it there. What's inside of you? A better way of maybe saying that is, what do you want to be? I want to say this and then we'll close down for today. I'm hoping this is the best thing I've said all day. What you've done in the past and what people have said over you and about you does not change what God put in you. No sin you ever committed, nothing anybody's ever said about you can change what God has in you right now. And if you'll allow yourself to go through that metamorphosis, begin with your mind. Stop replaying all the bad videos, all the horror videos. Start playing your future videos. Start getting your thinking right, because nothing's really going to live out there until you live it in here. If you'll do that, you're going to come out of the cocoon and you're going to fly with the breeze. You're not going to crawl through life. You're going to experience the sweet nectars and the most beautiful of things. That's what God has inside of you. And what He's telling all of us today is do this. Be like Jacob. Look inside. There's a hero there. And find that hero. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You that I'm predestined. I thank You, Lord, that You've got something way more for me to experience than I've experienced. Lord, I thank You that You want to change us. But now it's up to us. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Just want to ask you this question. Are you like me and sometimes you just don't like yourself? You know, you look and you get hung up on your failures and your faults and the knots and the roughness and the hardness. But you don't want to be that. You really want to transform into something that you know is in there. You know it's in there. And you really want the Lord to help you with your thinking so that you can get beyond the bad and into the good. And you can begin living it in your mind so you can live it in your life. If that's you and you really want the Lord to help you to go through this metamorphosis process and you really want to become what God's destined and predestined for you to be. If that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're sitting and let's just kind of all pray together? I see hands everywhere. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we do want this. Lord, we admit that, Lord, there are times when we allow the past to hold us from going on to the future. We let fear stop us. We let failure stop us. We let what people say stop us. But Lord, we commit today, we're going to hold on to that man until we get the blessing. We're not going to let it go this time. It's getting daylight. We see what You want us to be. We're beginning to see it. And Lord, we won't let it go until it blesses us. And so Lord, today we receive it and we have it. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Now, if you're not where you need to be with God, you can't metamorphose. You can't go through the transformation. You've got to have Jesus within you. You've got to be called. You've got to have Him in you. You've got to have Him working inside of you to justify you and to glorify you. And if you're not where you need to be with God, then this isn't going to ever happen. You're just going to crawl through life as that wormy little hairy caterpillar, eating and just trying to exist. But God has inside of you this amazing person. And through Jesus, the transformation happens. If that's you, and you just know, I am not where I need to be with God, and I want to fix that right now, right today, if that's you, would you, right where you're sitting, raise your hand. Let me make eye contact with you and pray for you. If that's you, I see a hand here. Any other hands? Hand here, I see you.